Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditate today on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 6 and the theme of Count Your Blessings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us each day to count our blessings and among them to count your word as a precious gift to us through which you speak to us and give us open hearts and open minds to receive that gift again today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if anyone has ever encouraged you to count your blessings, or perhaps you have given that advice to somebody else. There's a Jewish tradition that during the reign of King David, there was a great plague sweeping through Israel, killing 100 people a day, and the rabbis responded by encouraging the people to recite 100 ways every day that God was still blessing them, to literally count 100 blessings each day. Now, the tradition says that it stopped the plague dead in its tracks. And whether or not that was the case, I imagine it was a very powerful practice for those who took it up. Count your blessings. The phrase was kind of popularized in a hymn by American Methodist Johnson Oatman in 1856. And his hymn, which isn't in our hymnal but is in others, begins like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Today in Luke 6, Jesus surprises us by encouraging us to count our blessings, and he surprises us by describing things as blessings that we wouldn't ordinarily think of as blessings, and describing things as woes that we wouldn't ordinarily think of as woes. So today we're going to look at counting our blessings, counting our woes, and ultimately counting on Christ. So this large crowd is gathering. People from all over the area are gathering to hear Jesus teach and hopefully to be healed, some of them, by him. Then we read that looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." Rejoice in that day. Really? Leap for joy in that day. Really? Which day? The day on which you experience poverty, hunger, mourning, weeping, hatred, exclusion, rejection. That's the day he's talking about. So how on earth can these things be blessings? How? Now, it'd be really nice in one respect to keep our celebration of Harvest Thanksgiving at a kind of surface level and say, look how richly and how materially and how abundantly God has blessed us. Shouldn't we be very thankful? And of course we should, because that's true. And we could say, look, even in a time of pandemic, when we go to the shops and we kind of complain because the shelves are a bit low and the stock's not quite what it usually is, most of us still have far more food, far more drink than we need, and we live very comfortable lives. Shouldn't we be thankful? Of course we should. So what's Jesus getting at today? Jesus seems to be calling us deeper. Looking at his disciples, he said. There's a sense in which Jesus takes his gaze off the crowd for a moment and addresses those close to him, those following him, with these words. You see, his disciples were already starting to experience some of the things he's talking about. And so, in the first place, Jesus is reassuring them that earthly failure, earthly trials are not evidence of a lack of faithfulness. In fact, they may be evidence of the opposite. When they were poor, because they were giving away their possessions, when they were hungry, because they were out all day listening to him teach and seeing him heal, and when they were weeping because they cared so much about the plight of the downtrodden people, and when they were hated or rejected because they were following him, because of their Christian convictions, Jesus says they're blessed, deeply blessed. Not just blessed in this way, but blessed in a very deep way, a way beyond their knowing. And not just in that moment, but even in the age to come. Johnson Oatman writes in that same hymn, "When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high." You see, spiritual blessings always trump material blessings. Always. And so we say things like money can't buy happiness. And there's a truth in that. You could say money can't buy grace, and money can't buy peace, and it can't buy hope, and it can't buy strength, and it can't buy joy, and it can't buy wisdom, and it can't buy salvation. And all the spiritual blessings that God wants for us, on top of the material blessings, money can't buy. And not just that money can't buy them, but also if you look at the other side of life, plagues and pandemics and financial crisis and personal crisis and terminal illness can't take them away because they're very deep blessings of the soul. And so Jesus is trying to encourage his followers by saying spiritual blessings always trump material blessings. And so we should count them and we should give thanks for them to God and begin to realize how far and how deep and how wide and how wonderful these gifts are. So that's counting our blessings, but what about counting our woes? Counting our woes. Why would we want to do that? Well, firstly, because Jesus does. And I can even imagine at this point, he's just been addressing his disciples. At this point, perhaps he lifts his gaze a little bit wider and lifts his voice a little bit louder. Because no doubt among those who had gathered, there were a number who were very self-assured, very self-righteous, very successful in a worldly sense. And so Jesus addresses them, but he also addresses us because we all have that tendency. And he says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Now notice firstly how the woes mirror the blessings, right? So they're meant to stand in contrast to them. And we get the rich, the full, the laughing, and those whom others speak well of. Now the point is not that food and drink and a good name, a good reputation, people speaking well of you, laughter are not gifts from God and shouldn't be received as gifts from God because they are and they should be. And the New Testament speaks quite clearly about that too. So what's Jesus getting at? What's the point? The woe, the danger, the problem. It comes when these things become an end in themselves. A goal. A source of consolation. A source of comfort. When we look to these things in our lives as though they can fulfill us, provide what we really need, then there's danger, Jesus says. In other words, the danger is that we no longer see our need for God or his grace or his peace or his hope or his joy or his wisdom or his salvation. We don't need any of it because we've got a full pantry and a big screen TV and we're sorted. And we see this all around us. We see this in our culture, how too much of a good thing can breed ingratitude, a lack of appreciation and thanksgiving. Let me pick up the TV example just quickly because maybe it's one we can relate to. When I was a child, we used to visit my grandparents on their farm and they had a very early television set still in their home and it was, you know, like a box. It was smaller than every microwave I've ever owned, right? It was tiny. You can't even buy something that small these days. And you used to have to squint to see it. And they got one station, 5A, in the Riverland. And even that was pretty poor reception. And so you'd have one person standing on a chair with the aerial in the arm and leg off the ground. Just stay there. I can just see the cricket, you know. Or maybe it's a lawn care product commercial, I'm not sure. But just stay there. We can see it. And we loved it. And we thought it was great. There was quite a genuine joy and appreciation. And from my grandparents too, and grandchildren as well. Now that TV looks tiny. I can still see it in my mind. It looks tiny compared to what most of us now have in our homes. And not only do we have one, but we usually have multiple TVs in our homes. And not only do we have one station, but we now have probably more stations than most of us know what to do with. And not only do we have that, but we have Netflix, TV on demand, which I don't even understand. Okay? But that's, you know. And my question to you is, are we any more grateful? Are we any more appreciative? Are we any more fulfilled by these things? Or are we strangely less so than maybe we once were? Does material wealth and possessions, do they actually fulfill us or deliver to us what they promise? Or do they, in a strange kind of way, bring us the opposite of what they promise and make us less grateful and less thankful? And always wanting more. Now, it's a simple illustration, but the point is to illustrate what Jesus is getting at today and the danger he's pointing us to. The danger he's pointing us to. So we've counted our blessings, we've been counting our woes. What now? Because Jesus' teaching ends, well, actually, Jesus' teaching continues in chapter 6, and we'll hear more of it next week, but today's passage ends very abruptly at the point of the woes. Like with all Jesus' words, they are intended not just as morals and values and how to live wisely, even though they give us all of that, but they're actually intended to draw us deeper and closer in our relationship with Him. If we just make a moral of it, we haven't gone far enough. We haven't come close enough. Because what Jesus wants us to see is, I mean, look at these blessings. Who ultimately left the riches of heaven for the poverty of earth? You know, who found no place to lay his head? Who hungered and thirsted in the wilderness and hungered and thirsted for righteousness? Who was hated and excluded and rejected and insulted? It's him, right? It all points to him. It's all about him. And so what he's doing is drawing us deeper into our knowledge of him. And our relationship with him. And teaching us that we can count on him. We can count on him because he's been there. And he's done that. And so he knows. We can count on him because he was deeply and is deeply loved and incredibly blessed by God. And yet he endured the cross. His crowning achievement. Death on the cross. And so when you count your blessings, make sure you count. First of all, count him and count on him. Count him and count on him in your time of trial. Count him and count on him in your hour of need. Count him and count on him for this age and for the age to come. Knowing that in all things, God always works for the good of those who love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to count on Christ. Help us to put our trust and faith in him and to know that whatever difficulties and hardships we must endure in this life can be used by you for our blessing and can ultimately strengthen our faith and hope in you and therefore be for our eternal blessing as well. Lead us, guide us, help us to be daily thankful for all the gifts you give us, but especially for the spiritual gifts you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.